Luke chapter 9 in your Bibles. Luke chapter 9, and we will begin reading in verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. When Jesus came to this earth, he did not come to make life easy. He came to make men great. He never tried to hide the potential dangers inherent with Christianity, and there are dangers inherent with Christianity. He did not preach a prosperity gospel popular today of health, wealth, and always on the mountaintop. Jesus Christ was honest and candid with his disciples. Hold your place here and go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And I hate to say it, but John 6:6:6. John chapter 6 and verse 66 says this, From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They said, Boy, this is not what we thought it was going to be. I think we'll just go home. I think we'll just start over. This is not what we thought it was going to be. Jesus Christ always demanded that you count the cost if you would make him Lord of your life. And that's the issue this morning. Is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? Now back to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And let's begin reading in verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned, and he said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned. It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That was all written in red in your Bible. Any attempt to make Jesus Lord of your life is based upon reality and not emotion, not the miracle of the moment, but to see clearly what's ahead. We must come to Christ, ladies and gentlemen, on His terms, not with little Pollyanna commitments of our own. We live in such a silly, little, flippant society today when it comes to things of God. We have allowed Madison Avenue in the church. If you'll join this church, here's all the wonderful benefits. We've got all this to make you happy. Seldom do we say, wait a minute, here's the cost, here's the responsibility, here's what we expect, here's what you are to do. But Jesus always did that, ladies and gentlemen. I want to give you three warning labels that Jesus puts on His lordship. First of all, Christianity can complicate your life. Now back to Luke chapter 9. Look at verse 57 and 58 again. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. This idea, I will follow you, happens all the time. We get excited. The music is great. The message was particular to us. Maybe it was at a youth camp and everybody goes, boy, count me in. In this man's case, Jesus understood that this was a superficial decision. It was in the heat of the moment, some miracle, great crowds were there. Jesus said, please, please count the cost. I don't have a pillow. I don't have a house. I have nowhere to stay. Are you willing to follow me under those circumstances? Are you willing to make me Lord? If you do, you will have, first of all, a new sensitivity to sin. Before Jesus is Lord, our moral standards are determined by our homes, ourself, our society. But when Jesus is Lord of your life, He wants us to be holy like He is holy. There's no shortcuts on this. It's basic, it's fundamental, it is absolutely decisive in our life. When I was a kid, I heard a lot about holiness. I had no idea what holiness meant. But they defined holiness. This is the church I grew up in. If you have holiness in your life, there's no smoking, there's no drinking, there's no cussing, there's no movies, there's no dancing. And then in the mid-50s, we couldn't listen to rock and roll music. That was the church, and that was the church some of you grew up in. That's what defined holiness in those churches. It was a thing of this. Keep the commandments, all 10 of them, not 8. Language is a big issue. We live in a cesspool of verbiage today. From the White House, when the president says a bad word, everybody laughs, but God doesn't crack a smile. And it happens often. Jesus wants our thoughts and our expressions to coincide with the cleansing of our souls. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and because of that, go with me to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. And look at verse 14. Here's what David said. God bless his heart. He said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Paul said, "Let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth." We saw it last week. What a shame. Even little kids are using horrible words and hitting cops. Let me just ask you, if you're at a store and if you get back too much money, what do? It's a great chance to say, "Jesus Christ is important to me. You gave me too much money back. Here's the money." Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The seventh commandment still applies. We live in a sleep together, live together society, and Jesus says no. A new sensitivity to sin can sure complicate your life. Second of all, a new sensitivity to your testimony. Jesus Christ, your church, and your faith will be judged by the way you live. Not what you affirm in this building, but by the way you live outside these walls. A new sensitivity to others' needs. And it begins with the person to whom you are married. They are very important because Jesus said to make them important. He said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it." Your wife is to be important to you. Your parents are to be important to you. And if you have older parents, you take care of them. I understand there's always some problems with that, but they are your mama and your daddy, and you need to take care of them, and you need to honor them and respect them. You're to make your kids important. You are to be good examples to them of what a Christian is and how a Christian behaves. Your friends are important. They are gifts from God to your heart, and you make them important. And hungry people, and hurting people, and lonely people, and older people, they will not mean that much to you until Jesus becomes Lord of your life. Fourth, a new sensitivity to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He lives within you. He goes where you go. He wants to guide you. He will say to you, "Talk to that person about Jesus Christ. Pray for that person. They need your prayers." You can't just leave your church and your responsibilities on a whim. They're to be important to you. Second of all, Christianity is urgent. Go back to Luke chapter 9. Verses 59 and 60. "And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Does that sound harsh to you? an attitude is revealed here. And the attitude is given in verse 59. Two words. Me first. Lord, let me first. What he is really saying is this. Lord, I'm going to have to get back to you on that. No. What the Lord is saying is, I want you to do it now. It is urgent. It needs to be done right now. And that's true in our life. Christianity is filled with people who intend to do good. Just not now. Later, when it's more convenient, when it's more feasible, when I'm more financially able to do that. Let me ask you something. When do you expect a candle to give light? 5 minutes after you light it? 10? No. You expect a candle to give light as soon as you light it. As soon as you were saved, God expects you to give light, and God expects you to be salt. Christ wants the church to be very important to you. The church has God's commission. It has God's blessing. He wants you to love the Word of God. He wants you to love the house of God. He wants you to love the man of God. They are to be important to you. Jesus Christ wants every Christian to support the church financially, not through bake sales, rummage sales, or bingo, but through the tithes and offerings of God's people. The minimum figure always, always is a tithe. The word tithe means tenth. Let me just ask you, who do you think should finance the church? You say, well, all of us, but just not right now. As soon as I bury my dad, I intend to do it. It's a good thing. Jesus says, ladies and gentlemen, it's urgent. You understand that we are living in the last days before the rapture. Last of all, Christianity cannot be regulated by peer pressure. Look at 61 and 62. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but here's that attitude, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Lord, let me see how being your disciple is going to go over at home. Let me go home and bounce it off of them. Let me put it to a straw vote there. Jesus said, if you are not willing to make me Lord, you're not worthy of the kingdom. When God tells you to do something, you don't have to check with anyone. Jesus said, don't put my lordship up for a vote. Others may not agree with you, but that's okay. Baptism is not to be put up for a vote in your life. It's right, and you just need to do it. Jesus puts a warning label on making him Lord of your life. Jesus didn't come to make life easy. He came to make men great. How you doing? Let's pray. Father, once again, thank you for that wonderful word that you have given to us. And Father, thank you for the honesty that your Son always has with us. when we go to Him and we read the Word of God. We read what He said to us. It always does a work in our life. So, Father, help each one of us to take time right now just to say, oh, God, I need to do better. There's not one of us that we're doing everything that we need to be doing, everything that we can be doing. Oh, God, help us. Help us to live a good and godly life before You. Help us to be men and women of prayer simply because we have so much for which to pray. So many of our friends are sick. Our family members are sick. We know people who are lost. Oh, Father, speak to our hearts. Help us to live a life where You are Lord of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's going to lead us in a couple of verses of an invitation.